to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Hello, Brains, and welcome home. You are back at the spot, here, the place, where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull, nor are the PowerPoints. When's the last time you've been in a meeting and you looked up at that screen? Not only did that person have 25 slides too many, but it was boring, it was dry, you walked away with nothing but a headache. Well, we have Bridget Callahan. She is a graphic design designer, but what her focus is on really helping people level up their game when it comes to presentations and using PowerPoint. So many people use it, and they use it wrong. So we're going to talk to her about that because she's got 30 years of experience creating engaging speeches, presentations, and seminars. She has worked with some of the biggest names in the business. We're talking about Xerox and Acura and Samsung and PayPal. The audiences end up retaining the concept, and the speaker walks away looking like a god. Not only that, Brains, she has a 3-degree black belt in karate and a real estate investor, and she lives right here in Paradise with me, San Diego, California, or the surrounding area. So let's welcome her to the edge, Bridget Callahan. How are you today, lovely?
I'm doing great, April. Thank you so much. I'm really excited to be here and to talk to all the brains.
Yeah, because, again, I talk to everybody on the planet. Business owners, entrepreneurs, employees, students, and they all have at one time or another used PowerPoint. Now, I can't remember the last time that I used PowerPoint, so I'm kind of rusty. So you're going to level us up on that. But I'm so glad to hear that you have recovered. I know that you're a biker, and I love to ride my bike, too. I named her Slinky Barbie. Who names their bike? But you had a little bit of a biking accident. What happened, girl?
Oh my God! I was, it was in July, and the Tour de France was on. I was watching that. I'm getting really excited, so I thought I'm gonna just hop on my bike and go up the coast, you know, like I do. I live right next to the beach, and coming home, it was kind of dusk, and I'm on a bike path, and these two pedestrians were walking away from me. I'm coming towards them, and I warned them that I'm coming through, and so. One on the right moved to the right. The one on the left moved to the left. I said, okay, great. They're giving me the center lane. So I took the center lane, and the one on the left turned around, saw me coming, and freaked out and moved to the right next to a friend right in front of me. Mm. And we did the tumble over, you know, Wile E. Coyote kind of cartoon tumble. Mm-hmm. And I broke my elbow.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you recovered and that's all that you broke, because biking accidents happen all the time. But as bikers, we have to double think, because when you get to an intersection, we don't necessarily have the right of way. When you're turning around corners, you got to wear a helmet, all of this kind of stuff to protect us. I love biking, but it is a dangerous sport.
Yeah, put my helmet on that morning thinking, I've never had to use this. And sure enough, you know, I did hit my head, but it wasn't very hard, and that helmet protected me. And, you know, I don't like riding on the streets as much because of that, you know, versus car versus person. But, you know, you can fall anytime on a bike. So you want to be prepared.
You can. So I'm glad that you're better. But also with that, you can kick a butt. Tell us about your karate. I love that. A 3-degree black belt. I'm running into more and more women that are doing that. And they're not only doing it for exercise, but they're doing it for mental discipline. They're doing it for physical exercise and also for protection. Tell us a little bit about your experience with karate.
It has all of that. And you spoke that very well.
Thank you.
You know, in college, I was an athlete. I played on the intercollegiate softball team. And when I was in college, they didn't have women's soccer, but we had a club team. So I played soccer then and played for 10 years after that. And one night, my friend at soccer practice was leaving early. I said, where are you going? She says, I'm going to a karate class. I go, really? what's that about? And I signed up with her. It was at the high school there in San Dieguito High School in Encinitas.
Right.
And that started my martial arts career. I mean, one thing that I loved about it was the exercise and the rigor and the discipline and the meditation. But what kept me coming back is the guys are really cute.
Don't say nothing, especially when you can take them down to the ground. I love it. I love it.
You can go toe to toe.
You are a woman at the top of your game when it comes to graphic design. Tell us a little bit about what the graphic design space looks like these days. I mean, it's changed so much. People used to do things with, you know, pen and paper, sketch pad, you know, maybe a little graphic design on the computer screen. But it's a whole new business model. It's a whole new set of configuring. Tell us what that looks like now for a graphic design person.
Well, you know, I come from the age before computers, and we had to sit at a drawing board and use inking skills and sketch and do typesetting and type specking, and it was, you know, the old way of doing things. And then when the computer came out, I was chomping at the bit. I've got to get on a computer. This is going to change our world. And it did. And what was cool about it was made my job much quicker. I could turn things around much faster. And it gave me some other access to, you know, designing things in a different way. But then it also put that into the hands of everybody, the whole public. So what happened is, like, now everyone's a graphic designer. They can make their own flyers. They can make their own logos. And so the expectation of good graphics went down. You know, it's like, it's good enough. We'll go with it. And then slowly, you know, graphic design and marketing and stuff kind of got their legs back. And it's an amazing industry that's very electronic based. We can, you know, make edits and changes and have it done so quickly. And the way digital printing is done now, it's just fascinating. And then as far as marketing goes and why we market and what is the market for, in the olden days, it was like we're talking about us. And we're the important ones, and you've got to buy our product because we're the greatest. And now it's all about our marketing is dictated by what our audience says about us.
Mm-hmm,
so if you want to
right.
know what you're marketing, ask your audience. They'll tell you what your marketing is because that's the feedback they're getting.
Well, there's a so couple things. Before we conclude, before I lose my train of thought, because, girl, I do that from time to time. Too much coffee. But some of the biggest mistakes and challenges that I see when people do their own graphic work, number one, the coloring. You know, they'll put a blue on top of a green. You can't see the text. They have too many fonts. I know I love fonts too, but they have like five or six different fonts, four or five different sizes. That's confusing. It doesn't look good. And also consistency with your logo. If you have a logo, you need to stick with that logo at least 3 years unless you're going to totally rebrand. Do you agree with that?
I totally agree. And I think the downfall is that, you know, people have access to, you know, all these fonts and stuff, and they just think, I'll make this bigger, I'll make this smaller. And a lot of times it's because they've seen it somewhere else. They don't have the distinction of what makes a good design. They don't have the training like I have, us graphic designers, of you've heard that creative white space. You know, it's an area where we rest our eyes so that we can take in more information. Having
right.
some things big and then some things small, so our eye can quickly track what do we want to read, and then interspersing it with graphics or pictures. You know, that's a career. That's a major in college. You know, so most people don't have those. Not, you know, that knowledge. Just like I don't have the knowledge to do brain surgery. You know, it's learned.
But I bet you can learn. You're so smart.
Because it's for the brain, right?
Right. But, again, you know, because people get so excited and they do all this stuff. And, you know, I look at some of these business cards, and like you said, that white space, I always, someone said at least a nickel or a quarter size so that the eye can land and it can rest, even on a business card. They got
yep.
too much stuff going on. So talk to us about PowerPoint and PowerPoint presentations. Again, I haven't done one in a long time. I don't even know if I have it on my Mac. I'm sure I do. But tell us what is like some basic tips and some of the biggest mistakes that people make when they're creating PowerPoint presentations for their audience.
Well, I think, you know, first of all, it's just tough to get up and speak, right? And then to have to create your own slides on top of that, it's like, oh my God, that's too much. But, you know, there's a lot of seasoned speakers out there, and yet they may not have the budget, or they just want to create their own slides because they have fun with it. But they don't realize that that real estate that's up on screen is bigger than you are. And if you don't put some really careful thought into what you're showing to that audience, they're going to make an immediate assumption about you and your expertise and your credibility. And we don't think of that when we create our own slides. But as an audience member, we've all experienced the boring slide presentation, and we know instantly if this person has it or not. And it's just one of those innate things, but it comes from media. It comes from television and movies. We're exposed to some really great design and movement and colors and layout. So we have that judgment of what's professional and what's not. And, you know, I'm hired to do people's PowerPoint presentations. I know some people don't have the budget, but I am committed that everyone show their best. And if they can't afford someone like me, you know, here, I want to give them some basic tips. I want to show them what a good slide presentation looks like. And I want to show them how they can avoid those pitfalls. You can tell in my voice, I'm really passionate about it because
right.
I've been at
well, it
many
makes a
events.
Big difference.
Yeah, I've
it
been
makes
to,
a huge
too many
difference.
Events
I mean, you know, Right. People are spending all of this time, you know, hours. Oh, I've got to get this presentation done. And sometimes it's overkill. You put too much. I've been in presentations where people go, well, we'll skip this slide. We'll skip this slide. Well, what in the world did you put it in there for? What are some of the things that people should really kind of think about? If they're doing it themselves, now we're definitely going to come to you for the power, the pack, and the imprint. But if they're doing something, say for a class presentation, number one, how many slides is too many slides? And number two, what are some key things that people need to put in every PowerPoint presentation?
Well, let me start with that second question. What they should put in every PowerPoint presentation is the visual memory of what you want them to take away from. You know, you have a couple of points you're probably conveying in your talk that you want them to really remember. And that long-lasting memory can be imbued from a visual. You know, you think of a picture as worth 1,000 words. Well, if you only have 10 minutes to talk and you have some really great photos that you're tying to your story or to your talk, they're going to remember that talk so much better than if you had, like, numbers or just text and you're reading it, okay? So make it simple. Just keep it simple. You know, if you have a couple of images that don't make any sense, if someone looked at your slide, they go, what the heck are you talking about? To me, that's an A+. You did a great slide design because they need you on stage to speak to those slides. If you put your whole talk on a slide and they can read it and they go, I know exactly what you're talking about, then don't get on stage. Just show the slides.
Okay. Now, how many slides is too many slides?
Too many slides is when the slides are boring or they don't make sense. That's like one too many. I average about a slide a minute, but that's a general cadence. I've worked on shows for so many years. Some people say that's too fast, and others people say that's kind of slow. It really depends on the ebbs and flows of your talk. You may click through five slides in 1 minute. You may hang on a slide for 5 minutes, but overall on the average, about a slide a minute. I've had speakers had 360 slides in an hour. That's you know, way more than 60 slides, but it worked because they were so cadenced to the timing and to when they revealed the slide. It was like an act. It was like a presentation. It was like well rehearsed, and it's like you felt, wow, as an audience member, they really practiced this. They really choreographed this. I feel so appreciated that they put the time to make this a great presentation. That was by far the best I've ever seen.
Wow, that's
so
exciting.
So that's the effect I want to create with the audience.
Now let me ask you about intellectual property and copyright. You know, folks is always grabbing something from the internet. Oh, this is cute. Let me do this. But that is intellectual property and is proprietary to the owner. Should we be careful of that when we're creating a PowerPoint presentation? Because some of these are going online as well.
Absolutely. I mean, I am a staunch follower of the legal practices for copyright because I'm an artist. Yeah, I don't want people stealing my work, you know.
Right.
And there's lots of photo banks out there. There's graphics banks out there. You know, the cost isn't that much. You know, if you can take your own pictures and put them in your slides, you know, if you're talking about something, you know, take a picture and put it in your slides. There's nothing wrong with that. That's your picture. You know, it seems easy and everyone does it. So it's like, oh, no one will know I use this slide. Guess what? Getty Images has algorithms out there that can see what images are where anywhere in the world. And
really?
They'll immediately send you a cease and desist letter. One of my clients got one.
Really? See, that's good to know,
yep.
Brains. It's good I asked that question because it's not just music that people are plagiarizing. You know, you go on these social media sites, Facebook, YouTube, and they send you a message and they take down your post because you've infringed on somebody's copyright. So I thought I would ask that question. Let's talk a little bit about your other interests. As a real estate investor, what got you into doing that?
I grew up, and my mom always says the best investment you can make is real estate. And so hearing that as a bug in the back of my head, I knew that. And so early on, I thought I need to save money and buy my own house. And luckily, I was able to do that in my mid-30s. And then in my early 40s, I met with a couple of people, and they started doing like a real estate club. And they were investing, you know, buying, fixing up, selling, or buying and renting. I'm like, this is interesting. I was watching him do it. I watched one of my friends. He bought 11 properties.
Wow.
And, you know, a lot of money really quick. But he was just really good. And these are people that don't have real estate licenses. They just have the wherewithal and the knowledge to buy and sell, you know, with negotiation contracts. I mean, there's that way to do it, okay? And, you know, when they're the, so I bought two properties in North Carolina, sight unseen. My friends, they had bought about 12 or 14 properties in that area. And unfortunately, when the crash hit in I think it was 2007, almost everyone lost their homes. They had to, they fell out. But I'm the only one who held on to them. And thankfully, still today, I own one of them. I just sold the other one this summer, and I sold it myself. I just used a lawyer in North Carolina. And my friend who was into the real estate, he helped me with the sale. And it was great. It was very empowering. It's like, you know, I don't want to be a real estate agent. I don't want to be a real estate investor full time.
Right.
I love doing graphic design. It what's gets me out of bed in the morning. But it was interesting to see and play that game and see how you can compound your money or make money while you sleep as far as, you know, getting rent or whatever. So that's
well, you
what
know,
got
and
me
flipping.
Into it.
So, Brains, when you're up in the middle of the night, pay attention to those infomercials. You know, at first I thought, do I trust those? But information is power. You have to be able to edit and filter and know what works for you. But it's good to know that you took a chance, you had fun with it, you've been able to flip some properties and make some money. It's not for everybody. But, again, if you're in that position or you have a hunger for that, definitely, definitely try. So, you have been very gracious, and you have given a link, created a special link to presenting and doing PowerPoint presentations. I wanted you to share a little bit about what is on that site for my Brains. I want you not to walk, Brains. I want you to run, because if you are a presenter, if you are a speaker, if you are a student, you know, this is cutting-edge information from a graphic designer guru that's been doing it for 30 years. You cannot go wrong. You need to level up your game so people are paying attention to what you are trying to deliver, that they're not yawning, they're not boring, and that you don't have overkill. So tell them a little bit about what you've provided for them as a free gift, Bridget.
Oh, of course. So I have created a webinar, and I'm delivering the webinar coming up here in a couple of weeks, and it's called From Sedated to Captivated. And I walk through before and after slides. You know, a lot of people, I'd say 90% of all the people who've seen PowerPoint slides have never seen a great presentation. And I'm like, this is sad for me, you know? So I want to show them what great slides look like. I want to show them some poor slides that I got from clients and then how I retooled them to make them look great. And I show them a few, you know, tricks on how to portray bullets. I mean, I hate I hate bullets because bullets kill, right? Don't have
right.
this long list of bullets on a slide. So I show them a different way to convey bullets so you can talk about the information, but it's more memorable. It's more powerful. And, you know, we really want to empower the speaker to up-level their expertise and their credibility through their slides. So I'm going to give you a website link, and you go there and reserve your seat and show up at the webinar. It's going to be through Zoom, and we're going to have a great time. It's going to be live like this is now, but I'm going to show my screen, so you're going to actually see some slides. And
right.
I can take your questions, and I love questions. So the more questions, the better. I haven't really gotten any question that has stumped me. And, you know, I know someday it's going to happen, but I'm
well,
always up
I
to
mean,
learning.
Well, you know, but that's a learning opportunity for you too, you know.
Exactly.
And that's what learning is. It's 360. It's a 360.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that this has just been a wealth of information. I'm going to go on as soon as I get off this call and reserve my space because I want to know what's going on. I'm always presenting. I'm always talking. I'm in front of a crowd. I'm always doing Zoom. So I want to be at the top of my game. Bridget Callahan, please tell my brains how to get in contact with you if they need someone to come in and talk more one-on-one with a group or maybe a school or a lecture or whatever it is that they could do to up-level their game and even hire you as a graphic designer.
Right. Well, my title is Presentation Design Expert, and that's my
Ooh.
Website too. So if you go to presentationdesignexpert.com, you can see all about my business and see some samples of my work and see how I've worked with previous clients. And I've created a special link just for your brains. It's called presentationdesignexpert.com/brains.
Mm.
And you'll go there and you'll read all about this free webinar coming up. It's October 29th at 11 a.m. Pacific time. And please sign up and reserve your spot. And once you sign up, I'm also going to give you access to my freebie. So,
oh, shoot. Well,
seven mistakes you don't want to make as a speaker. So
okay.
we'll talk about those seven mistakes. So,
okay, well, great, because I definitely need to be up on top of everything that is going on. You have been so fun, and Brains, you don't know this, but we've made arrangements that we're going to have a little libation about 6:30 this evening down here in San Diego.
Yay.
We're going to do a little video so that you can see her pretty face, and we can talk about what's going on in the design space, the graphic design space. Thank you so much for being here and being a guest on The Edge. Bridget, please come back and tell us everything that's going on. Be careful on that bicycle, but don't be careful if you got to kick a butt. Girl, you do what you got to do, okay?
Okay.
All right. I love you, Brains. Come on now. I need you guys to subscribe. Not only just look, I need you to follow. Get engaged in what's happening on The Edge. I'm giving it to you straight with no chaser because I love you, and I want you to be heady, smart, edgy, and at the top of your game. Thanks so much again, Bridget, for being on The Edge. Brains, I love you deeply and completely, and I will talk to you again soon. Have a great day.